Yeah, so we're talking about money today, and I've, as you know, I've only been around Grace Church for like 4 months, something like that, beginning of January, and I know this church, like many churches, the desire is to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, and as Johnny rightly said, if we was going to go through every verse in the Bible, taking our time week after week, we'd be on money for many, many Sundays. There's a lot in the Bible about money. And I know, like, it can often, we go, money, oh, goodness. It can make us feel a little bit twitchy, a little bit edgy. But it's good to talk about it because it helps us to understand where we're up to. And, you know, Jesus taught a lot about money. Apparently around, not apparently, around 40-odd percent of the parables were all around the subject of money. About 15% of what Jesus said was about money. So it's obviously important. It's important to find out. And if you have been a Christian for long enough and you've heard talks on money, you would have heard the fact that 40% of the parables are about money. That's what we all say when we're going to talk about money. And if you're not a Christian here today, well, I just want to say today I'm not really talking to you, but it's a good thing to think about and listen in. Because it's important. This gives you a bit of an insight what it's like to follow Jesus. And because following Jesus is absolutely amazing, but it's also hard. It's also totally fulfilling, but sometimes it's painful as well. So you've heard that, you might have heard that before. It can be hard and it can be painful, but it is much more amazing and fulfilling. So listen in and you'll get a bit of a glimpse of what it's like to follow Jesus. And it's so important because there's nowhere else, you know, with all the, it might be painful, it might be hard, it might cost us our life, but Jesus has got the words of eternal life that changes us from the inside. And that's, so if you're not a Christian here, you know, it's worth listening, but I'm not actually speaking to you, so don't worry about it, don't worry about the money thing. We'll get past that. So often this talk, particularly at Grace Church, but in other churches, is given in conjunction with a special offering next week or something like that, just to stir our hearts and get our hands in our pockets. But we're not doing that today. There will be one in the autumn time. But this is about our general giving, what it means to give to God. There's room for growth here as a church. It's a faith thing, as we'll understand as we go on. I'm sure you know that already. And like I said, there will be an offering in autumn, a special offering. And tonight we're going to be sending out a video. So you'll get a link on the email or something like that tonight about the what's going on in Grace Church, all to do with money, our vision, and the financial stuff. You know, when Simon might get up and you'll see a pie chart and all that sort of thing. And if you're like me, you just glaze over and it means nothing. But, you know, for some people, they love it. So if that's you, but if that's you, definitely click in and watch it. But everybody, look at that, watch the video. That'll be coming out later on today. And the idea of putting it on a video is so you haven't got to spend an evening driving from here to Chichester to hear that and watch Simon and see a pie chart on the screen. You might as well watch it at home, having a cup of tea or something. But I remember when I first became a Christian, I was 24 years of age. So it was a little while back. And I was saved out of a completely non-churched background. My parents weren't Christians, none of my family were. I had a normal sort of upbringing, but a friend of mine, I was a roofer, he was a builder, and he became a Christian. He said, come to church. So I went to church and I thought, this is amazing, you know, really nice people, you know, weren't used to that, really kind to me. So I went back in the evening and he was surprised that I wanted to come back, but I went back and God just met with me in this prayer meeting of about 12 people, and I said to God, if you're real, I want someone to get up and come over to me, because I wanted to disprove God, right? I wanted to get past this point, and I'd arranged to meet my mates down the pub, the similar pub, I remember it so clearly, all those years ago. And I thought, let's get this God bit out of the way. And so I prayed this prayer, and with that, someone got up and come over to me. And, you know, you can imagine, I was just a young bloke, really, and they said, oh, I just felt God tell me to come over to you. I'm like, oh! I don't want to hear that, you know. And I sort of freaked out a bit. They freaked out a bit. And they called over a leader. And then this leader told me all about Jesus in 5 minutes. And I said, I want it. I need this. I want to follow Jesus. I mean, I had no idea. And I was in that moment, I know I was born again. So it's a great moment, you know. And I just kept meeting with God all the time. There was amazing things going on. I'd ask God, you know, one time I was on my motorbike coming home from work and someone said to me, God speaks to us. I'm thinking, that's really crazy, but let's try it. And I said, God, all right then. I was driving towards Dulwich Hamlet football ground, right? Most people would not know it, but anyway. And I said, all right, God, I'm on the motorbike. I said, you tell me who they're playing next, right? I know that's stupid. I know how stupid that sounds. But put yourself in a young bloke's position who's, you know, has no idea what Christianity is all about. And I felt God say to me, because when you go past their ground, it says who they're playing, you know, that sort of thing. And I felt God say to me, they're going to be playing Hendon, over the hill, down Dog Kennel Hill, it's called. Get to the place, Dulwich Hamlet versus Hendon. I mean, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And there's all this stuff going on in my life, you know, all about, you know, what God's doing. I was blown away by it. He totally changed me. And I thought, I felt like I was in heaven, really. And I just loved the church. I just threw myself in. They said, we've got a working party. Go around someone's house. We're going to decorate, you know, scrape the walls off. Not as good as what Simo would do. But anyway, there we were, giving it a go. And as I'm doing this scraping the walls, one of the leaders, this is probably about 3 months in, I reckon. And we're doing this work, and he says, have I talked to you about giving? I went, no, not really. I knew the offering went round, you know, on a Sunday. And he started telling me about it, and he said, you know, have you heard of tithing? I went, never heard of it. You know, he said, well, that's where we give to God, you know, our best. We give him sort of, if we can, 10%. I thought, whew, that's a bit steep, you know. I was thinking a fiver, maybe a tenner, you know, whatever. I just didn't get it, right? But I loved God. I'd never been taught about this stuff. And I was a roofer, and I was a bit of a wheeler-dealer type person. You know, if you could get around something, I would try and get around it. So I thought about it, just scraping the walls. A little bit of time goes by. I said, I've got a little bit of an idea. I said, it's probably a bit different to what you used to. I said, but instead of me giving 10%, how about if I say, when I die, you can have 10% of my house? And he went, you've missed the point a little bit, really. But that's the way I thought, you know. But the point of me telling that story, really, is I'd fallen in love with Jesus, and I needed other people to help me. You know, it wasn't just about money. You know, there's loads of things in my life that were messed up, like all of us, you know. And we're on a lifelong journey of becoming more like Jesus. But the whole thing about money, I needed this guy to tell me what it was, what the purpose was and why we were giving. I just wanted to cut a bit of a deal that would work for both of us. You know, it worked for him in the long term, the church, and I wouldn't have to pay this 10%. So I'd clearly missed the point. He just laughed and we got on. And I never really understood it from a heart motivation, even after he first told me. I just thought, you know, there's more to it than that. So giving is, and I'll come back to that in a moment, giving is about more than giving. It's an opportunity to grow as a disciple of Jesus. And so with that, I probably should work this thing out. I don't know what comes next, to be honest, but we'll get through this. If you're laughing and stuff, you'll know I've just got it wrong, but we'll work with it. So it's an opportunity to learn about Jesus. It's not really just about money. And so today's talk is God's people and giving. And you know, the event, let's try this. Well, it's a bit quick. There we are. Bear with me with that. So often, yeah, I've done that bit. So, you know, it's about God's people and giving and how we can learn to be more like Jesus. And you know the event Black Friday comes around, doesn't it? And apparently a little while back, a couple of years back, £2 billion was spent in one day, which is a lot of money. You know, there's a lot of money sloshing around where people are spending. It might not be their own, it might be credit card, but lots of money is spent. And it's a staggering £23.6 billion was spent in the UK with Amazon in 2021. It's incredible, isn't it? £23.6 billion. And there are obviously lots of people in crippling debt, right, with mounting problems. And you may have heard of the Christians Against Poverty, CAP organisation, which Simon and others work with, and we've just finished a course in handling our money, you know, a three-week course, because we recognise there are issues with money for loads of us. And so we use the CAP Money Course to equip us, to help us with our finances. And CAP is a growing, flourishing organisation, which is in one way, it's a bit sad because it means more and more people are hitting financial troubles or difficulties. And fear grips when finances are tough. Many of us either have experienced it or are experiencing those sort of things. And it just affects us. It affects a lot of our lives. Here's a few statistics from CAP. 72% of clients say finances or lack of them affects their physical and mental health. 57% of their clients say it deeply affects their marriage. And 33% said they considered suicide. That's the depth of the issue of money can be. So that's just a little snapshot, really, of the diverse experiences of the impact of money. There's lots of people are spending, but there's also lots of people struggle. Poverty can clearly lead to distress. And plenty, you know, if we've got loads of money, can lead to, well, I just want more. I just want more stuff. And I saw an advert recently, I can't remember what it was for. It was for some holiday thing, I think. And it started well. It just went through some studio. And it says, you don't need more stuff. And it showed images of mobile phones and clothes and all that sort of thing. It said, what you really need is bigger and better experiences. And it showed these glamorous holiday locations. So the advert started well, but it's still looking for you to want more. Oh, last year we went to wherever. This year we've got to go bigger. We've got to go further. You need bigger and better. That's what the world tells us. And so whatever our personal situation is, giving as a Christian is all about the gospel. It's gospel-centered. That's good. We're doing all right so far with this thing. It is a heart issue. It's really important to grasp that. Because what we spend our money on reveals our heart. It's so true, isn't it? Matthew 6. Yep, excellent. Matthew 6, 19, 21 says this. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, our money reveals what we worship. You know what you worship by what you treasure. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? It's another, scripture that's worth looking at. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, we won't put the words up, it's too long a text, but it's the story where a rich man comes to Jesus. And he says, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, have you kept this commandment? Have you kept that commandment? Yeah, I've done it all. And he says to him, give away all you've got. And it says, go sell everything and give to the poor. And the rich man, it says, went away sad. He left Jesus. And sometimes you can look at that and think, Jesus is just wanting to nail the guy. You know, he's rich and I want to get him. Jesus is not like that because it also says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved this wealthy man. But he wasn't really after his money, he was after his heart. You could tell by that little story that the rich man, what really motivated him was money, was wealth. And Jesus got right into the heart of what was going on. He looked at him and loved him. And I love that story because it's easy, when you're not so wealthy, it's easy to go, yeah, we got him. Nailed him. He's not going to get to heaven, that sort of thing. But Jesus looked at him and loved him because he had something much bigger in mind than just keeping all his wealth or some of his wealth. Jesus is after winning the heart of us. And it's for the best for us as followers of Jesus to grapple with the issue of money, to grasp hold of what Jesus is doing. Because the Bible says this, you've probably heard this before, the love of money is the root of evil, of all evil. And money was his idol. Money is what stirred the man. That was his God. And Jesus knows the struggles this can be for each of us. And it's impossible to give sacrificially to God if this is the heart, if money is our God, if money is our idol. It's not the money itself, is it? It's the love of money. And money is a neutral thing. We need it. We can accomplish great things with money. But if it's our God, we've become slaves to it. John Wesley said this. He's someone from the 19th century. And he said this: earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, give as much as you can. And money is neutral, as I said, and it can be used for a good thing. Earn it. There's nothing wrong in going and earning money, earning good money, earning lots of money. I think he's got a good point there. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus had rich people around him. This rich young guy come to him, and Jesus pinpointed what was his issue. But Jesus had rich people around him. There was a follower of his, followed him all the days, a very, very wealthy man. And he gave up his tomb. You know Joseph of Arimathea, Joseph, anyway. Come from a place called Arimathea, I think it's called. And he said, have my tomb, you know. He gave that for Jesus, and you had to be really wealthy to have that. So Jesus had wealthy people around him. Save it. So earn it, save it. And that's a wise thing to do, isn't it? Plan. Budget for the future. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And then the last thing he says is give as much as you can. And this will prevent money ruling you, becoming an idol. And at different stages, we're faced with different challenges, aren't we, with our money. When you're young, you know, you've got a student loan, whatever it might be, there's challenges. When you get married, when there's only one income coming in, if you're employed, if you're unemployed, different. If we looked around the room, you know, we're all at, many of us at different stages. Retirement, stuff like that. We've got to think about our finances, and saving is a good thing, and using our money wisely. And I was out cycling yesterday with some older guys. I say older. They were all younger than me. But anyway, and one of them, he said he was out with his mate cycling, and this was with an older crowd. And he said the two things they talk about all the time, it begins with P. He said prostate and pensions. And that's all they talk about wherever they go, you know. So I don't want to be invited into that cycling group too soon anyway. But it just shows you what's on people's hearts, what matters. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says this: for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The rich man is a great case in point to this verse. He walked away. He loved money more than the kingdom of God. But what if we used our money, personally, our money, through the lens of all this belongs to God? I think it changes us. It changes how we use our money. And I knew a leader years back. He was like a long time back. And I was in his house group. And I don't know if he had a glass of wine too much, but he probably said more than he thought he should have. But I remember him saying this to me. He said, if I disagree with the leaders about something, I'm not happy about something, I'll lower my giving. And I'd say he got that so wrong. You know, clearly it's not what it's about. He's missed the point. We're to give God the first fruits. We're good to give God our best, not just in money, right across the board. But money is part of that. Don't get caught up in subtle deceptions. This guy has obviously got caught up. He's upset about something, and he's allowed that to fester. And he's made it a personal thing. But there are lots of other little subtle deceptions that can trick us. Let's give to God from our first fruits. What he was saying really was, the money belongs to me and I will preside over it. What if I decided my home, my cars — I haven't got cars, I've got one, but you know what I mean — my clothes were all meant to come under the microscope of the gospel. All that I did was about Jesus and the gospel. And this doesn't mean we can't enjoy stuff. We can't. We can and we should. You know, but it's a sense of I'm giving God the glory. And I'm giving thanks to him. God, I thank you so much that you've blessed me with stuff, you know, whatever it might be. Psalm 24, verse 1. This is bad, isn't it? I keep looking around. I'm not confident. But anyway, in this bit, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All we have comes from God. Everything we have is all from God. We can enjoy these things, but don't allow them to control you. We mustn't allow that. If God has blessed you, enjoy. Be a good steward. Be generous to others. But you don't need to be embarrassed if God's given you some good stuff. If you go on nice holidays, you know, if you brought it under the microscope of the gospel, enjoy and give thanks to God. God, thank you so much that you've equipped us, you've blessed us to do this, whatever it might be, or to have that. But you mustn't allow it to be the thing that you're craving after. God, oh, thank you for that 3-week holiday in the Seychelles next year. I want bigger, I want better, so I can tell my mates at work or wherever it might be. Don't satisfy your cravings in that way, and don't let it fuel your sense of identity. If you've got the iPhone 13, I don't know how many they're up to now, but, you know, and the next one comes out, this is rubbish. I can't be doing with this anymore. You know, don't allow these things to become our identity, but allow them to say, God, I thank you for the things you're giving me. I'm turning it back to gratitude and praise to you. Enjoy it and be grateful. It belongs to him anyway. He gave it to you. God has revealed to us his amazing generosity. He's given us Jesus. And no truth is more readily apparent in Scripture than the generosity and the grace and the gifts of God. He delights in giving. We know that. You know, he's for us. He loves us. He gives us good things. He's a good father. He's for us all the time. And as those like us in this room being conformed to the image of Jesus, we're becoming more like him. And some days I feel like I'm becoming more like him than others, but that's the journey we're on. That's the trajectory we're on, is to be more like Jesus. And so we should be working towards, I'm equally delighted in giving, and that's why it's a heart thing. It's not an obligation, it's a heart. Oh God, you've done so much for me. I can't wait to be generous to other people. And it isn't just giving in general, it's a selfless, sacrificial giving that overflows from a heart responding to the generosity of the gospel. And you can be giving loads, or you can be giving next to nothing. It's still about the heart. And Mark 12:41-44 says this. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came out and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." There's no clearer indication, really, and of it being all about the heart. Imagine that moment. You know, Jesus is sat there as we all wander by. Well, he is really, anyway, you know, but imagine that pressure. But she just gave from a place of, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving my all. And, you know, it's not like saying, let's give a specific amount. If we all give £200 a month, we're all happy, we're all sweet, we can keep going, we can run everything we wanted to do, or let's all give X percent of whatever we get, that doesn't deal with the heart. You know, it's like you join David Lloyd or something, and it says it's £60 a month, or 80, or whatever it is. You're entitled to certain things as a result. Excuse me. But it doesn't deal with the heart. If I earn £300,000 a year, like, just to reassure you, I don't, but that would be a worrying thing, wouldn't it? But anyway, and then £30,000, 10%, you know, it's not going to change my life that much, is it? It's not really going to inhibit me if I'm giving away £30,000. That means I've got another £270 to do what I want with after the tax man's taking his little cut. I might not even notice it that much. But if I earn £10,000 or £8,000, £800 or £1,000 probably can make a massive difference to how I live my life. So it has to be more than just a figure. It can affect us a lot. So there's something in this story as well that's proportionate about having a generous heart. Rick Warren, who wrote the book The Purpose Driven Life, you might have read it. It's sold loads and loads of copies, millions of copies all around the world. And he gave everything that he'd earned up to that point back to the church. I don't know what the figures were, but he'd worked for the church for quite a long time, and this book did well, so he got a lot of money coming in. And he just gave all that he'd earned in the previous years back to the church, and at that point took no more money from the church. And he lives in the same house, but it's like, despite being a wealthy man. And I think there's something about that for us. You know, we can give generously when we've got a lot. It's easier to, but you know, it's not a proportionate thing. The Bible does talk about tithing, but you know, we can go way beyond that. When we're disproportionately wealthy, if we are, we can give more. Sacrificial giving that can bless other people. The widow offers with a different spirit. The Pharisees and the scribes are coming up. Look what I've got. Here, look, the big check written out. Have a look at that. And the widow just quietly goes about what she does. She offers in silence without recognition or desire to be noticed. She offers to God with humility. I would say aiming at 10% is a good starting point. It's something to aspire to, something to work towards. So that's the first point. It's a heart issue. And the second one is it's a gospel issue. It's a heart issue for certain, but it's also a gospel issue. When we grasp the extent of the power of the gospel on our lives, it will cause us to be a generous people. For all of us, we can so easily be entangled in the affairs of the world. Obviously, we live in this world. Paul warns Timothy against this, but it's a battle for us. You know, we live in the world. We've still got to pay our mortgage or our rent and all those other things that come in. But we need to press in to what Jesus is like and the gospel, how it changes us. I've heard of a phrase, you've probably heard of it, a bucket list. You know, I want to do these 10 things before I die. Things I want to do, places I want to experience. And I do understand and get the sentiment behind it, but it can control us if we're not careful. I have to do this. A lot of people love travel, right? You know, far-flung places. I'm not really bothered about that. You know, I don't really want to get on an airplane, if I'm really honest. But I do, for Jenny's sake. I'm such a caring person, you know. But, you know, but the thing is, when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, I'm going to see it all anyway. The best of the best is going to be right there with no airport experience. So it's a thought, right? It's getting worse at those airports, apparently. Anyway, this will get too caught up in that. You know, if you get the opportunity to go somewhere amazing, Niagara Falls or wherever the places is, praise God for it, thank God for it, be in awe of God over these amazing things, creation and stuff like that. Be in awe of that, but don't let it be the thing that drives you onto the next thing, the bucket list thing, that thing, I have to do this. If God gives it to you, fantastic. But if not, don't worry. It'll all be fine. So 1 Peter 3, let me just check, did I put it on there? Yes. I hope you're impressed with it. I'm quite impressed this is going all right, the old clicking thing. But anyway, it says this, 1 Peter 1:3-9 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And we're not going to go too much detail of those verses, but it just encapsulates the gospel message of what Jesus has done for us. Is in his great mercy. And you and I were in desperate need of the mercy of God. We were dead in our sin. There was no way out, and he rescued us because of his mercy. We were utterly lost and away from God, dead in our sin, and he gave us new birth. This is what he did to us. That's what happened to me when I was 24, and it happened to you at some point, however old you were, whether you knew the actual time, day, and the month, and the year, or whether it was at some point, but you know you've gone from death to life, new birth. I wasn't even looking, really. And even if I claim I was, it was the work of the Holy Spirit, work of God, that stirred something up in me as an interest in God. We're alive in Jesus and the promise of abundant life. That's what he's given to us. And abundant life means that we get Jesus. And that's why this is a gospel issue. We get Jesus and we have a living hope. We have a hope in this world, but far more importantly, we have a hope beyond, into the world to come. When we die, we're going to be with him forever. And it's a hope that will never fade. And it will not disappoint in any way, shape, or form. And that's the biggest understatement ever. And that's why the giving, when we give, it comes from our heart of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Trials come, but they will result in joy inexpressible. And if you're like me, trials come, and I'll have a whinge and a moan, maybe. Not always, but sometimes, you know, we're a bit like that, aren't we? Or I am. But, you know, when you're coming through it, there's a joy inexpressible, because actually, Jesus, you're in control. You're in charge of my life. When there's stuff going on that I don't understand, you're still in control. When my finances are at rock bottom, you feed the birds. You clothe the lilies of the field. How much more is he going to do for us? So our confidence is in Jesus and what he's done for us. That's why it's a gospel thing, because it's out of this that we give. What a salvation. Matthew 13:44 says this: the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. The kingdom of God, knowing Jesus for eternity, is everything, and it's worth losing everything for. The verse is about the value of the kingdom of God. He sold it with great joy. And we don't want to get over familiar with that. And there's a knock-on effect of treasuring Jesus. And it's the joyful burden of seeing others come to Jesus. Go and make disciples, it says at the end of Matthew. And we have a vision of a church to see many, many people coming to know Jesus, to see the advance of the kingdom in Havant and Bognor and Chichester and beyond, to have an impact on society, to change lives, to see differences, to do social action projects, to do justice in the local setting that we live and beyond, things like compassion. There's no greater cause to live for than to live for Jesus and to see what he's doing. The reality is God uses people like you and me. God's at work in our lives. He partners with people and he partners with the church. He's the head of the church and he involves us. And we're about a cause that stretches into eternity. This is not like I pay my subscription and let's see how good he is at preaching or stuff. I know you don't think like that. It's about I'm investing in something that is for eternity. So every time you give, that's what you're doing. You're investing in eternity. There are exciting things going on amongst us at Grace Church, the Little Bears thing that goes on. There's people getting saved. There's people getting added to the church. Alpha is going on, and people are enjoying it and loving it and getting changed and coming to know Jesus. It's the amazing thing. God involves us, the church, and it's the hope of the world, the church. And money matters, and what we give to has real ramifications. And the final point is it's a faith issue. We give, and we give by faith. It's based on our understanding of the depths of the gospel and how it has impacted us. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, test me. God says, test me on money. And it's one of the only places where God says, test me. And I think that's a good thing to do. Sometimes it's a challenge, isn't it, to say, oh, I'm going to give out of, I'm struggling, I don't know how it's all going to stack up, but I'm going to give my first fruits to God. And he says, test me. And it can be an amazing adventure that we can go on with God to trust him. And he encourages us to do that. He encourages us. Come on, you can do this. It took me a while when I first started giving, because I stacked it up in my head still, although, you know, I was trying to do the deal, 10%, my house and all that. But even when I did start giving, there was still in me, I was like this, well, I'm no worse off really, because I used to drink a bit, so that accounts for that section of it. I used to go out clubbing a bit. I don't really do that so much now, so I saved a bit there. And I used to gamble a lot, and I was useless at gambling. So I thought, actually, I'm no worse off. But like, even I'd still miss the point, right? You know, I'm giving of my first fruits. I never really grasped that point. And it's really important that we do that when we give, because he's given so much to us. And we can trust him. He will meet all of our needs. We're not paying into a club. We're giving to God from our first fruits. And the widow gave everything in real terms. She gave sacrificially. And it's not about that moment. It's about a step of faith. Can I give that enables me to grow in faith? When the figures get revealed, you know, the budget thing, when we watch that video later, we can think, oh, maybe my contribution doesn't really matter. Oh, it matters. It so matters, because it matters to God. It might not seem to matter in the big scheme of things. It still matters there as well. But it matters to God, because he's changing us. What we give our money to is where our heart is. And when we say, God, I'm giving this to you. This is a struggle. I don't know how I'm going to get to the end of the month. But God, I'm giving this to you, because you've done so much for me. You've changed my life. Or conversely, you might go, I'm doing pretty well. I can afford to give this. Well, look, on that pie chart, I'm quite a staggering way across. You know, we don't allow pride to well up. We want to be a give from what God's given us, a real heart that, God, this belongs to you. The whole lot is yours. It's not mine. And often, most of us, a lot of us, would give by standing order. And it's easy to just, you know, when you look at your bank statement, go rent or mortgage, council tax, gas bill gone up, petrol bill gone up, tithe, you know. And there it is in the list of stuff that we have to, you know, what we have to pay out, as it were. As I was doing this, I thought, I can be like that. You know, so I look at my bank statement and go, yeah, that's the amount, blah, blah, blah. What I thought about, and I was convicted about, I should be looking at that bank statement and go, God, I'm so glad to be giving this. Can I give more? You know, because this is from the first fruits. God, I want you to have my best. And if I just go council tax X amount, mortgage X amount, tithe X amount, it is that. We do want to budget and be sensible. But I want to say, God, actually, this, I'm giving this to you. I belong to you. You love me. I'm going to give this to you. So we go beyond, it's just a little financial thing, if that makes sense. We know we can't repay God. It'd be silly to even try. His gospel has set us free. And I think we can see over the bits we've read in the Bible, it's the heart of God to be generous. And it really is about the depths of the gospel and not feeling any sense of guilt or anything like that. His gospel has set us free. And we're free to go on an adventure with God in our giving. An adventure that takes us to a place of dependence upon God. A place of taking risks. I'm going to try and catch up because I've missed a few things out somewhere. Right, we're getting there now. And there's that sheet of paper on the chair in front of you, or you put it to one side. It's worth having a look at. You know, God says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, we're to give with a joyful heart. Not with a stingy heart, but with a heart, God, with a real thanksgiving. Ah, oh, I'm so glad I can give to you, God. And I just think it's good that sheet is to take home, really, and to evaluate where we're up to. And things like, how can I grow in this area? Because we want to grow as followers of Jesus. That's what's important. Whether it's money or whether it's something else, but money is what we're talking about this morning. How can I grow and move forward? Work out where you're up to. It's not an overnight fix. It took me a long time. You know, I started giving, I still didn't get it. Then I started to work it out and all the rest of it. It can take us a while. It's a lifetime of growing. Like, I've been a Christian a long time now, and I think I still want to learn. How can I grow more in trusting you, in my finances. And consider what, when you give, whatever it might be, this is from my first fruits. It's not like I've worked it all out. Well, I've got this amount left. I can afford to give this. It's like, God, I'm giving you, I've decided in my heart, I'm going to give joyfully. And this is what I'm giving. I'm giving of my first fruits. And proportionately, you know, think about that. Pray, ask God, God, what do you want me to give? And have that faith adventure. You can go on an adventure, trust God in this. You can test God in this. And that can be so exciting. I remember when I transitioned from being a roofer to a taxi driver, and I said, God, if you want me to do this taxi driving thing, I'm going to have to be unemployed because I can't serve the church, be a roofer, and learn to be a taxi driver. And then within months, I was unemployed. And the journey through that, of knowing God's hand in my life over that time, was just, I look back with fondness. You know, you don't always in the moment when you're thinking, how can I pay this bill and that bill? But God always comes through. So I'll just encourage you, if you're not at this point being able to give or feel you're not at that place, ask God to help you. Maybe it's time to start giving. Maybe you're an occasional giver. Maybe it's time to think, well, yeah, I want to give regularly to the work of what God is doing at Grace Church. And maybe for others of us, they might think, actually, I can give even more sacrificially. Well, let's come towards God. Let's ask God what he wants us, what he wants from us in this time around the subject of money. And it does reveal where we're at. It reveals, you know, when you do a little prep for a sermon like this, you start going, oh, I didn't realize that was so important to me. And you know, allow God to work in our hearts, and there's no guilt involved, right? That's the real key thing. No one walks out of this building feeling guilty. We want to be motivated by the love of God, what he's done for us. Absolutely no guilt, nothing like that. Let me pray, and then we can finish by singing a song of worship to Jesus, because whatever we do with our money, we love Jesus, and he's worth celebrating and praising. Father, I just pray right now that you would help us. Lord, we want to be a generous people. But Lord, we want to be a people who are captivated by you, that we give out of knowing the generosity that you've given to us. You love us. You've given us everything. It all belongs to you. Help us, Lord, as we work through this stuff, as we battle with the challenges of living in this culture that we live in, of trying to make ends meet and all that. And Lord, come and, Lord, will you do a work in our lives? Lord, I pray for people in this room that there will be men and women who go on an adventure with you, and they prove you time and time again, you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't we stand?